Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat.
Welcome to episode 117 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
Something Summer and I love to do here on the Outlander podcast, as many of our listeners will know, is to not only talk about the books and the show, and that's like the meat, right? That's the thing that everybody loves. But anything and everything pretty much Outlander, whether it's talking about our trips to Scotland or talking about doing a whiskey tasting. And that includes the fantastic stuff, merchandise, tartan, whatever you want to call it, that is in any way affiliated or associated with Scotland, with the show especially. And so we love talking to official Outlander licensees. And today we are lucky enough to be speaking with the owner of one of these licensees, the Celtic Croft. And the owner is Lori. She's here with us today. So welcome so much, Lori.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We're very happy to have you. So Lori, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, how you came into or to starting the Celtic Croft.
Well, I'm a farm girl from Idaho and followed husband number one to Minnesota and since met husband number two. So I joined this business 13 years ago. Joseph started it 20 years ago. And not only do we love everything Celtic, but we also love working together. So he's a graphic designer and had a website before people knew what websites were, and we've just grown it together.
So it sounds like a little bit of your interests, your upbringing, is reflected in some of the items that are available at the Celtic Croft. You say you're a farm girl at heart. There's a lot of, especially speaking of the tartan, right? There's a lot of this, maybe not homespun, but really beautiful down-home stuff that's available through your page.
Yeah, and when you grow up on a farm, you learn how to work, and this is a lot of work. So Joseph and I started our business. We worked out of our house for many, many years. We have seven children, so we wanted to make sure that we were home for them. And they're mostly grown now, so we moved into a big warehouse with a storefront and the whole thing 2 years ago, and that's been a really big step for us.
So when you first began, or when the store first began, say you said about 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
What were the first items that it began with? And then what were the items like, or the inventory like, when you joined? And then what is it like today? What are some of those differences?
Joseph started with bagpipes. He'd always wanted to own a mail order business, hence the graphic design. And he started with bagpipes, added kilts, added tartan over the years. And when I joined, we had a fairly good line of kilts and tartan products. And then we started making kilts together. So we make all of the historical type kilts, the great kilts and filibegs. And those are all made here by us in-house, and we spend a lot of time doing that, and I actually really enjoy it. So now we have Celtic jewelry. We have pretty much everything Celtic.
In expanding your lines or in looking for the next possible item, do you travel? Do you do, like, as they call it, couch surfing? Do you use the web primarily, or do you take trips to Scotland or to other Celtic countries to do more research to see what you might bring in the future?
We would love to go to Scotland, but again, seven kids are not only time-consuming, but expensive.
That is true.
So it's in future plans. Most of our traveling is done when we go to Highland Games or Irish Fairs or Celtic festivals. We've seen the kids over the years. We've seen some really amazing places, and we do a lot of the traveling that way, where we go and we're actually vendors. We're selling the kilts and the tartans, and, you know, we have a whole setup. So that takes a lot of time too.
Oh, absolutely. It's like a second family or an eighth through 12th child all on its own, but it never sleeps. Yeah. It's always hungry.
Pretty much. Yes. I do call it my baby.
Aww.
we love going to the Celtic festivals and meeting all of our fans and customers, and, you know, touching base with the people there, and the culture is amazing. I love the culture and the family that we have found in the Scottish and Irish communities.
How do you source, whether it's an item that you bring in and then sell, or sourcing material to then make the final product from? How do you source your materials or other items?
Well, we have a full line all the way up to, you know, the $700 formal kilt that comes from Scotland, that's made in Scotland to your measurements. And then we also have our budget line that's made in Pakistan. And we want to be able to offer kilts and tartans to everyone, not just people who can afford them. You know, if you want to wear a kilt and you don't have $700 for a formal kilt, then we also offer the $59 kilt from Pakistan.
I think that's pretty awesome, because it shows that while you do have a love or an affinity for this genre, right, for all things Celtic, basically, you are interested in engaging everyone. You're not just saying, you know, we're not for you if you can't afford this. You do your best to appeal to a very wide range, which then basically welcomes everyone.
That's our goal, basically, is we want to be able to, like you said, engage not just the Scottish and Irish communities, but anybody who wants to wear a kilt, anybody who, even a canvas kilt, they're fun. And we want to get that out to people, that you don't have to be Scottish to wear a kilt. You can wear a kilt because it's a fun thing to do.
Now, do the budget kilts come in tartan, like the specific clan tartans as well, or are those more like the utility kilts that you see everywhere that are like dark or black or khaki? Or
we have both. We have the canvas kilts is what we call them, or the wilderness kilts, are two different styles. And those are, you know, kick around kilts, go fishing, do whatever. And then we also offer the budget kilts in about 30 different tartans. And the economy kilts is a step up from that. And those are available in about 50 different tartans. And we're adding to those all the time. And our premium line, they're available in over 1,000 different tartans.
Holy Moses, I didn't know there were 1,000 tartans. Oh my gosh, this is an education here. Oh my goodness, Lori. So when you go to Highland Games, as you said, you are many times vendors there. What types of items do you bring, especially if it's your first time at a new place?
Well, first we research the venue to make sure that it's something that we're wanting to go to. And then after that, we bring our 28-foot trailer and set up a 30x30 space. And we have kilts and jewelry. We do bowrins, you know, the Irish drums, and music and books. And we try to offer just about as much as we can fit into the trailer and the tent.
Now, when you go to these events, are you one of the people that, like, bring a camper and, like, camp out?
No.
I'm always amazed
like
at the
shower.
People.
Yes, I like a shower too.
Well, there's something to be said for being authentic, and you know, a lot of those people treat it like a rent fair for Scotland, so they go there to be authentically Scottish. And if they were all hanging out, then maybe they wouldn't be taking showers all weekend. I don't know.
Yes, but since she's a vendor, they
probably sell more things when they don't smell. Okay, I got you.
Oh my goodness.
So on your website,
I saw that some of the after-hour events, and that's been really fun. You know, you go down and they've got the campsite all set up, and you go eat barbecue and talk to everybody, and that's been fun to attend some of the after-hour events. But no, I want to go back and shower and sleep in a bed.
Now, does that include, or might that include, some of the Kaylees that are often toward the end of the night, at least one night during games?
Yes. However, most of the Kaylees are after the games are over, and we're packing up.
Oh.
So it takes us about 4 to 5 hours to get everything all back in the trailer.
How many of these events do you think you go to per year? And do you ever get tired of the weird food?
That's funny you should ask. We started out with about 25 events, and we've kind of pared it down to 10, 11 events now. Just because we're so busy here in the office, it's hard to be away. And yes, I am tired of the food.
Was there ever...
I'm good for like maybe one or two a year, but
yeah.
I think if it was going to be more than that, I'd be like, I'm bringing my cooler
25,
with a sandwich.
That's half of your weekends. If they're all weekend, that's half of your weekends of the year. You're every twice a month minimum, you're gone, and it's not a quick trip.
No, it's not. But it's a lot of fun. It really is. And we get tired of it, and we're really glad the season is over and we can concentrate on the holiday catalog orders that are coming in now. But we've taken our kids to some amazing places. And who gets to do that, right?
That was actually going to be my next question. So since you have seven children, I'm obviously, unless you had seven at once, I'm sure they're different ages. Over the years, have you had the opportunity to take either all your kids or a significant number of them with you?
Yes. Yep. We've all taken family trips to Wyoming and Kentucky, you know, Colorado. My kids actually fight over who's going to go to Colorado with us because they absolutely love that.
I want to know if the youngest boy has had nothing but hand-me-down kilts.
No, he's really insistent on having his own, and he's taller than all the rest of them. So
so he's going to make sure he gets it.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. So you're based in Minnesota, and you mentioned going to Wyoming and Colorado. What's the furthest that you guys have traveled to for fair to be vendors?
Well, this year I sent my kids for the first time without me to California. I think you met my daughter there. Were you at the Pleasanton Games?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
One
That's
with the purple
amazing.
Hair.
That was amazing. I remember you mentioning something about being there or in our conversation. I was like, that's, wow. No, so they flew, right? They did not drive.
The two youngest daughters drove out with the van, and the two older daughters flew out.
Bless their hearts. Woo.
Yeah, it was really fun, and it was an experience for the two youngest daughters to drive across country, and it was kind of scary for mom.
Number one, it's your babies going off without
with
you.
Your baby.
With your baby. Yeah, with your baby. It's
with
your babies,
my baby.
With your baby. That's massive. Even if you were with them, that's still massive. That's a massive undertaking. And I mean, obviously they've been trained because they've done this for years. They know what to do. They know the process and the routine. That's quite a lot of trust there.
It was very scary, but they did a wonderful job. We've heard some really amazing feedback from it all, and I think we'll probably do it again because we're going to be starting to go to cons and different things. At one point, we'd like to get a crew on the road. We have the kids work with us. Well, let's see. We have five kids working with us, two full-time and three part-time. And my daughter, Corinna, that you met, she's been with us since she was 13, and she's decided to make this her career. And yeah, Janelle joined us over a year ago. That's our second daughter. And she loves it because she brings our four-year-old granddaughter to work. And, you know, she doesn't have to put her in daycare. And Rihanna, her daughter, is here with grandma and grandpa and aunties and uncles and gets all the attention that she could possibly get. And it's so much fun because whenever the doorbell rings, Rihanna's the first one up there. Mommy, mommy, we've got a customer.
Aw. So do you have a storefront then? Oh,
you mentioned
you have, okay, I thought you just had like a, I didn't know if it was just a warehouse where things were made or if it was an actual storefront in addition to your website.
Yep, we do.
I saw on your website that you have kilt rentals. Is that strictly for local rentals in Minnesota or is that?
No, we ship all over the United States.
How does that work?
Mostly people, you know, put their orders in online or they talk to Corinna, who is the rental coordinator, and they do all of the measuring or whatnot. And Corinna handles all of that. She reserves everything. She gets it out the door, gets it back in the door to the cleaners, back out the door. And it's one of our main sources of business at this point. The rentals are our biggest.
Is the Outlander tartan going to be available for rental?
Possibly. Right now, we're working so hard just filling orders that to try and get it into a rental, it's in the future.
So at this point, basically what you're saying is you can't keep it in your store.
No.
Oh, what a great and awful and wonderful problem to have. And you've nicely segued this. I mean, we have spent long enough talking about tartan and kilts and everything. So, I mean, it makes perfect sense that you would in some way be interested in the world of Outlander. So how did your journey to investigating and then becoming a licensee begin?
TK Knockout Licensing actually contacted us in October of 2014. And after a few months of deliberation and deciding whether or not this is something we could handle, we signed the license with them and started working with the weavers, and it's been a very long, long process with a lot of work, and we're working very closely with Sony to make sure that everything that we do is, you know, above board with them. We also are working closely with the weavers to make sure that everything is as authentic as possible. And it's been a fun headache.
That's a nice way to put it. I hear you. Oh, my goodness. So was it earlier this summer that you began to offer the Outlander Tartan?
Yes. But like I said, we started working on the whole licensing thing. It took a year to get everything together. Yeah. And just the website designing and getting everything approved by Sony. And that was hours and hours of work, too. So it's, yeah, I don't know what else to say about it, but I love All Things Outlander. I'm staring at my screensaver right now, and it's a picture of Jamie, and it says, "Let's do this."
Oh, you're gonna get, oh, that makes me so happy. So that's another segue. You are these official licensees. You offer the Outlander tartan. Is it just the Outlander tartan that was made for the show, or is it other ones that are, I think there are five official ones from the show?
There are five official ones for the show, and those are the ones that we offer.
Oh, you have all of them?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Which one's the most popular?
I used to, that's kind of changed. When the show first came out, it was definitely the Outlander tartan. But when the second part of the season came out, it's been Frasier.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm just like, I'm so verklempt right now. So it's so exciting. I just like want to get like a, send me a scrap, you know, whatever falls on the floor of each.
You know what that is? That's like a scarf. And oh. That's what they sell those.
Like, you don't understand. We sell our scraps. So obviously you love all things Celtic. You like doing this. You like the world of Outlander, at least a little bit. So you're looking at that screensaver, as you said. So have you read the Outlander books?
I am almost through the first one. With seven kids and a business to run, I haven't had a whole lot of time to read, and it's not one that we can listen to with the kids in the car.
Oh, no. No. I'm like Davina Porter, the narrator. I'm like her biggest fan ever in the world ever. And you're exactly right. You can't.
No,
I will
no.
be her evangelist until I pass, but it's not for kids.
No. Even the 16 and 18-year-olds at this point, they've watched the show with me, but they don't want to listen to the book. They're like, that's just way too descriptive. And we don't travel a whole lot without the kids. So, yeah, that's where I absorb.
So you take it, you read it in snippets as you get the time.
Yes. And I actually don't want to read the second one until I see the series because they're doing such a good job with it.
You brought up a very interesting point. So Summer found them first, but Summer introduced me to them in the late 90s. And we've read all the books. So we're definitely show evangelists, book evangelists. We're just like in it up to our eyeballs and pleasantly, happily so. However, if we had not read the books or known about them before the show started, honestly, I can see both sides, right? Because I always say, read the books. Should I read the books? My answer is always yes. Except when there's a series that's this good, and I think you're going to like it either way. But when there's a series that's this good, that your first taste or impression of the story is what you see, and all the richness and the music and the costuming, and I mean Scotland, hello, whatever they have, not that it bugs you, because I think everyone enjoys it, but you're not comparing it against something, and you are truly able to 100% dive into that world.
And I also didn't have the preconceived notion of who the characters were going to be, and that's been fun reading the book, is because I can picture Jamie, I can picture Claire, because I saw the show first. So I don't have that, oh, well, I don't know if that's the right actor for that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have that.
We did a read-along for book one that ended just as the first series started, or the first season. And we're doing a read-along of the second book right now, which will end. We're going to aim it to time just before the season two starts. That's kind of our, you know, kind of our pattern now. But the funny thing is, even though now that we've seen season one and we're reading book two and then talking about it in such chapter by chapter, I still don't see faces when I read. I still don't see them, even though now they've been cast and we've seen them in the show. The only person I see is Black Jack Randall. But
that's your Tobias Menzies obsession.
I have a little Tobias Menzies crush, so I think my brain just inserts him everywhere. So that's the only one I see.
And I see them all because I didn't know what they were going to look like. So, yeah, it's been really fun to read the books and how close it follows. I just love that it's following so closely. Right down to some of the words, you know, it's just the conversations. Yeah, so that's been really fun.
To people who haven't read it, as many people have shown or have proven, many people enjoy it, period, right? They never read it. they don't have any reason to come to it other than they're interested in seeing what it's all about. And if those people then choose to read, they're finding, oh my gosh, it's not a matter of being better or one is better than the other. It's that you've had that very rich experience of that show. And then if you go read, it's a different type of richness, right? Because it's written only and it's more, it's moving because of the story, but it's static, right? It's words on paper and not this visually, musically engaging feast for your eyeballs. I really truly envy people who have not read it yet, like yourself, whose first experience is the show, because I couldn't imagine it. And it's magic for me to have read it first. And I couldn't imagine how magic it would be, how much potentially more magic it could be for someone who has no idea what's coming.
And it was, it's been a beautiful experience to follow this show throughout the last, year. And I, of course, have watched it 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times, but I'm lucky when I do that. So.
Who's counting, Lori? Who's counting?
That's all. She can write that off, though. That's important.
That's
She's doing
true.
Research.
You're doing research.
I'm doing research, and that's what I tell the kids. It's like, I got to watch it. Mom, you're watching it again. Well, I didn't see that one brooch, so of course I am.
They're like, Mom, there's no tartan in the wedding scene, the wedding night.
Yeah. Actually, there was, but it was taken off really early. So you mentioned brooch. So we know that you're doing a lot with the tartan and a lot with with the licensing that you have deal that you struck. Now, is that purely for the tartans?
Well, the deal that we struck, yes, is for the tartans. The jacket, we're currently working with a supplier in Scotland for the jackets and the vests. We're licensed for those, but it's, long process trying to get everything right. And the hats, we're also licensed for those. But we have stuff here that we've had for years, like the shirts and the brooches, the penannular brooches. We've sold those for years. So we've put them on as Outlander-inspired, but honestly, we are a historical kilt supplier, and we do focus on the great kilts and the filibegs and the ancient kilts, and so we have that line already worked out and have for years.
So when you say the hats, you mean those like grayish,
the floppy hats?
Yeah, I was about to say bloppy beanies, but you got it. Great, those are awesome. Heck, I know they're worn by the dudes, but I mean they look nice on the dudes, but I might just want one just because.
Yeah.
And then by the jackets, do you mean like what, say, Dougal may have been wearing?
I think we'll go there eventually, but we're going to focus on the henchmen's and Jamie's jackets and vest for right now, because that's what the people want.
Yeah, do that green jacket from the wedding.
Yeah, well, that's going to probably cost $1,000.
Well, oh, my goodness.
To have it made in Scotland, But what we're hearing from people is that they really want the everyday jacket that Jamie and the henchmen wear. Murtaugh, we get a lot of, I want that jacket Murtaugh's wearing, or the sporran that Murtaugh's wearing.
What all items are available in the Outlander tartan on your site?
We have scarves, which is our bestseller right now. We have shawls that are in the Outlander tartans. The scarves that we have are both lamb's wool and the authentic wool. And the difference there is the lamb's wool is very soft and fuzzy. It's kind of a brush wool, whereas the authentic tartan is going to be the tartan that was woven for the kilts and the tartans that were worn in the movie or in the show. We also have wraps, and we have the kilts, of course, the full line of kilts in all of the different tartans, and arisaes, which is kind of unique to us. It's what Claire's wearing after they go after the witch trial.
Oh, what she's wearing that's belted with his belt.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Actually, what she's wearing is she is wearing his kilt, but traditionally in that era, that was called an arisae, and it was basically a woman's great kilt. And we've made those for years and years for the historical, line. But now we're making them in the Outlander tartans, and I did 4 this week.
Tell us about that. A journey, choose an item, whether it's an arisae or a kilt or a great kilt or an ancient kilt, but something that is currently available, that the Outlander tartan is currently available in. Tell us about that journey. You source the wool. You're getting the tartan from Scotland, correct?
As fast as we possibly can.
What is the process like to get that piece ready?
Well, we have them available in so many different lengths that you take each order at a time. You cut it to the length that, you know, they want it. And then the arisaes, they get a really deep fringe. So I sit and I watch my show and I fringe the arisae and get that all ready. Or the kilt, we also offer cheater pleats so that you don't have to pleat it each time you wear it. And a lot of people really like that so that, you know, they can just put the kilt on. And so to pleat it, there's a lot of math involved and a lot of hours involved. And we put the pleats in and let's see, the blankets get a really pretty finished fringe. So each piece is literally cut to that order.
So I'm thinking that when you sell an unpleated kilt, you should probably include, and obviously you would need Sony's permission, but include the short video of Sam laying the kilt out on the ground and him how he put it on with each kilt, so then everyone who buys it will then know how to do it, like a how-to video starring Sam Ewan.
Yeah, if Sony would approve that, that would be great, but I'm kind of guessing there.
Maybe just.
But we do include instructions.
But do those instructions include lying on the ground?
Yes.
They do, truly.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a friend who has a great kilt that will not let me cheater pleat it for him because it's one of the rituals of him putting on his kilt. I keep saying, Drew, you know what? I can do that. I can pleat this kilt for you and I can put this. Nope. I like this part. So.
And it's never the same kilt twice.
Nope.
That's true.
Although he did catch it on a branch and the kilt almost came off.
Oops. Wow. Looking forward, you do plan to offer those jackets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's in the make right now. What other items might be available that are also maybe under wraps, in the works, or things that you would like to do eventually under this licensing contract that you might be able to do with coming seasons?
Well, not knowing where the season is going, I'm not sure. So, you know, I just really want, we are going to be offering the tartans also in polyviscose and acrylic. And this is for two reasons. One, it's less expensive. And two, there are people out there that can't wear wool. So we're working with a weaver in Scotland to get the polyviscose, and that will, you know, offer up some more affordable options. And we're also working with a weaver in Pakistan, and this is with the approval of Sony, to offer an economy line, basically. And so in the future, if we're going to do rentals, we're going to do it in a less expensive wool or acrylic or something like that. But where do you go with rentals? Right now, we rent casual or formal wear. If we're going to rent Outlander, do you rent great kilts and arisaes, or do you rent the modern style kilts? I'm not sure.
I would say yes.
Yes to it, everything. I'll take one of each, please. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know, when you do the rentals, do you offer Outlander or no? Do you or would you offer the arisaes to rent as well?
We haven't gotten a lot of inquiries about that. So at this point, no. Most of our rentals are formal. So it and a lot of weddings. Weddings, proms, funerals even, golf games. We've had, you know, people contact us and say, we want 50 kilts for that golf tournament we're doing. And okay, so we scramble and we send out 50 kilts.
So before Knockout Licensing approached you just about a year ago, had you even heard of Outlander? Did you even know what it was?
I did, yes. I have a lot of friends that are absolute fans, and I would have read the books if I had had time, but I just don't. So, but yeah, I've had friends that have talked about this for years.
Since we don't know yet where season two is going, would you be interested in exploring, depending on where they go, continuing the line or expanding a line?
Absolutely. I think that the next thing that we're going to explore or work on is actually going worldwide, because right now we're licensed for Canada and the U.S., and we get inquiries every day from Germany and Japan and the U.K., and nobody there is doing this. So that would be our next big thing with Sony, is to go worldwide with this, if that's a possibility.
Now, with the non-Outlander line, do you ship worldwide? Wow, that was really hard to say.
Try that again, Sam.
With your non-Outlander line kilts, are you currently working worldwide with those?
Definitely, yes. We send a lot of merchandise and kilts to Australia.
Now, is it, okay, you use the word merchandising. Do you do overseas rentals?
We do not. Yeah, the shipping cost is outrageous, so to get it there and back. So just the U.S.
I'm just imagining returns on one of those if they ship to back.
Like, sorry, the shopping. The
and
shipping.
And then it gets cut in customs. And, yeah,
oh, no. My gosh. Yeah, exactly. And I'm in Japan. They're not going to miss it.
You could not pick a further away destination than Australia from the United States.
And apparently nobody there sells kilts because we're their number one kilt supplier. It just is crazy that we send so much to Australia or New Zealand. Well, Australia, you know, typically the people there, the culture was people from the UK, Scotland, Ireland, and England that were shipped off to Australia because they were outlaws or they were, you know, so there's a huge Scottish-Irish culture there.
Yeah, and that's why I'm shocked. And there, I mean, I know Australia and New Zealand are different, but at least New Zealand has a lot of sheep. I mean, there's so many sheep down there. I can't imagine that this has not been tapped into.
Not that we know of.
Well, I mean, better for you. Not going to complain.
I'm just like wondering if any of your wool is like sourced from Australia, which then gets shipped to the United States and then shipped back to Australia.
That would be interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
Is there anything that you can talk about or that you would like to share as far as things you're working on that we haven't mentioned yet, plans for your store, Outlander related or not, that you'd like to share with listeners?
Well, we have a lot of things that we want to do. It's kind of about time and money. As far as where we want to go with things, we want to start bringing in our own shirts that are very Outlander looking rather than going through a supplier for that. We'd also like to introduce hemp kilts and something that's renewable. And I think a hemp kilt would have a really good market. Thoughts on that?
Especially in Colorado.
Well, I mean, summer. I love that idea. And I love that idea only slightly less than the wool, obviously, because the wool's traditional, the sheep thing, obviously, that's awesome. I love the idea of a hemp kilt because, yeah, it's renewable. It's still, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I've never woven anything. Is that still something that you could make into like the ball of yarn or make into something that can be dyed and then woven?
I'm sure it could, but what we're looking at is more like a canvas kilt type of thing, where it's going to be with all the pockets and maybe I'm jumping the gun here because this is just something we've thrown around with each other.
It's okay. It's just you and Summer and I and a few people. Just a few people listening in.
But I just really like the idea of it being a renewable resource and being able to offer something that is so environmentally friendly.
I think that's a great thing to offer. I think it's smart for the environment, but you're also, quite frankly, going to open yourselves up to a new batch of customers.
That's what we were thinking and that Outlander kind of did that for us. We've opened ourselves up to a different community and kind of stepped out of the bounds of where we have been. And that, I think, inspired us to look bigger, broader.
That's exciting. That's exciting that something like, I want to say something as small as Outlander, but Outlander is not small. It's a little bit, some days it's a little bit too big, but it's a lot big.
But it makes sense. I mean, if you think about it, Outlander, it's a book. It started as a book that many of us read, started reading almost two decades ago, if not longer. And the journey of it becoming this show and this phenomenon has literally changed lives. I know that I'm in a very different place than I was 2 years ago when we started our podcast.
Oh my gosh.
And I can only imagine what that's done for all of the license holders, the people who are making all the product and opening themselves up to this whole new market.
It has definitely changed our life, and it's been a very good change. Like I said, we're thinking broader than we ever have before. And moving into the store and the warehouse location has given us the opportunity to grow in ways that we haven't had before.
Well, Lori, this is so exciting. It's obviously the connection that that interested us is the licensee connection, the Outlander connection. And that's why we're so happy to be able to speak with you since you guys are offering all of these Outlander tartans, obviously. That's like the first hook, right? But finding out so much more about your business and your practices and your sourcing and your materials and your customer service and your family involvement, I mean, how much it truly does, how much you involve your family is amazing. And, you know, sending your daughters off in two different modes of transportation, thousands of miles to go to this, to the games in Pleasanton. It's just so exciting. And as Summer said, it's just a book, but look at what so many things. You guys were already in the industry, but look at what it's even done for you guys. Opened your minds or changed, maybe you changed a tiny way of thinking to see what else can we do outside of this. And it's just so exciting how things are so interconnected and how paths cross and paths continue and grow. And it's just, it's been a thrill to learn this from you.
Well, thank you. It's been really fun to talk about this. I've been thinking about it for a week or so. And, you know, I was just telling my husband, I can't believe that we used to package orders on our bed. and here we are.
Oh my goodness. How do you just like pinch yourself sometimes?
Yes, I definitely did this afternoon when I was thinking about what I was going to say and going back through the years. And, you know, we had 2-3-year-olds that played in the packing peanuts. That was their favorite thing to do. So I had a shop vac that was designated for the packing peanuts at the end of the night. So the kids have grown up in the business and we've grown up with the business. And it's really been fun. A lot of struggles and whatnot, but it's been fun. It's been a fun experience, and I am flabbergasted when I think about the future, because 2 years ago, I wouldn't have thought we would be here.
We started out 2 years ago just like, oh, let's do a podcast. This will be fun. Thinking, oh, we'll just talk about this little book, and then in a year, we'll not have a show. We'll follow the show. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's been 2 years ago. There's no way. There's no way we thought we would be where we are at as far as just the things we've done with, you know, a trip here or meeting people there and interviews. It's been crazy amazing.
And when you think about the next 2 years, do you have
right now? I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry with like anxiety.
I refuse to. She was trying to think 6 months in the future from now.
And Summer
and
almost had an attack.
I shut her down. I was like, nope, we're not talking about that.
That's how I am. Somebody was asking me, are you going to the, you know, Indiana Comic Con? It's like, that's in April. I don't know.
Well, okay. This is along those lines, but it's even further out. But you mentioned in the future trying to go to more cons or some cons. Would you consider going to San Diego?
Absolutely. I'm just waiting for it to open up.
Because we would love, oh man, we'll be there next year too. And oh, we would love to meet you guys. That would be so much fun. It's a lot of people. And I could only imagine for the vendors, it's a lot of work because it's a lot of people. And did I say that? It's a lot of people.
It's a mad crush of people. And yeah. That floor, the vendor floor, is insane.
It's frenetic.
But I can imagine
frenetic.
How exciting it is for the vendors to people crowded around their booths.
Oh, it's amazing. Believe me, once the work people took pictures, we were able to go to preview night. And we found another vendor that had one of the vendors that we were going to meet there. And so, you know, we took a picture of the stuff. We took a picture with the stuff. I mean, and we were putting it all on social media and people were going, oh my gosh, where is this? Right? So it's so exciting because it's just so exciting. And then once the word gets out, believe me, people will come find you. People who are there, they come find you. They take pictures. It's just, as I said, it's so frenetic. And I could only imagine as a vendor to have people there who are so gung-ho for what you have brought, your little samples or whatever you're able to bring. It's like it's on fire.
I'm really excited about it. I've heard a lot of really good things about it. And right now my kids are basically fighting over who gets to go, who has to stay here and run the business.
Mom gets to go, right?
I think so. I'm not sure. Yeah.
See, here's what's going to happen now.
You can do it, Lori. You can commit.
But who's going to run the business?
That's my point. Whatever kid you bring is going to be like, I'll be right back, Mom. And then you're not going to see them for 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to be sitting at the booth by yourself. Well, not by yourself. You'll be surrounded by
pretty
fans.
Pretty much.
But, you know.
And Emily, you know, she's attended cons for years. So if I don't take her, she's probably will poison me.
Oh, no. Oh, you have a Galus with you, Lynn.
Well, well. No, she's a sweet kid, but that's
but those are the ones you have to keep an eye on.
Those, she definitely, she's threatened me if I don't take her to the con that she will poison me. So she's going for sure. Maybe I'll just send my girls again. I don't know.
It's an intense 5 days if you count the preview night. And of course, outpacking. I can't, obviously I'm not a vendor. I don't have the vocabulary. Unpacking and packing up, whatever those are. I mean, it's, I could only imagine. Just, I mean, I hope you guys make it. If not this year, then next year. But we would be tickled to death to be able to come by the Celtic Croft booth.
Well, I would love to meet you guys. That would be really fun.
We're just putting it out there, universe, and hope that it happens. It'll happen in some way.
Absolutely.
But hopefully at Comic-Con or some other event if we're able to.
If I find myself in Minnesota, I mean, it could happen.
that's always possible. Yeah, exactly.
Just get a 2-day layover the next time you go to Scotland.
Well, there is that. Well, thank you so much, Lori, for joining us and just telling us so much about a little bit about your family, so much about your store and stuff that you guys have and the exciting things that you guys have planned and hope to bring. And if someone wanted to get in touch with you or look at these items, what's the best way to get a hold of you or find your stuff?
We have a website with everything on it, and that's going to be kiltsandstuff.com, or you can just Google Outlander Kilts and we pretty much pop up right away. We also have a phone number, 763-569-4373. And we have a catalog with many of the Outlander products and a full range of what we offer that you can request. If you want to just give us a call, we'll send you a catalog.
Excellent. So there's plenty of ways to get a hold of Lori.
So there's no excuse not to.
There's no excuse to not at least get that catalog. Come right on. I mean, yeah, the website's nice, but we're going into winter. There may be power outages. You know you're going to have your candles or emergency flashlights. Come on, y'all. Get that catalog.
I saw the catalog.
I did,
we were
too.
At the Pleasanton Games.
I did, too. And I want one.
And I'm surprised that you're surprised there are over 1,000 kilts, because that was a very thick catalog, and it was wall-to-wall kilts. Things I'd never heard of. Patterns I'd never seen before.
Oh, my gosh.
Clearly, my kilt education is lacking.
Mine's like zippity-doo-dah, apparently.
But, yeah. That may take the place of some, you know, the go-to catalog that you keep. That you keep by your bedside.
Well, I've really appreciated this opportunity, and as nervous as I was, it's been really fun talking to you.
Oh, it's been so much fun talking to you, and we really, really appreciate it. And we are certain that listeners will enjoy this just as much as we did.
Oh, I'm sure our listeners are already on your website.
Oh, yeah, they're probably going to crash it. No, hopefully they won't, but maybe they will. No. We don't want to wish it ill, but we want to wish it much traffic. So
we have a good server, so I think we're fine.
Okay, good. Well, again, thank you, Lori. Thank you so much for joining us today and spending some of your very precious time, because we remember you have at least 8 to 12 children.
I do collect children. This is one of my things, is I do. I currently have 3 strays.
Aww, living in my house. Oh, my right goodness. Now. So I didn't even...
Not to mention the dogs and the cats and the, I don't know.
I was just about to say, it's probably good we didn't talk about any pets, because this is Ginger. I'm a huge animal person, and that would have been like a whole other hour. So I'm glad we didn't waste your time talking about the animals.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about there. There's a lot of, now I'm rescuing children.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, again, thank you so much. And we wish you a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
So that was pretty darn cool, learning more about the different items that Lori and the Celtic Croft will be having.
More things I'm going to be spending all of my money on.
But hey, it's Outlander. We all love it. It's all
my
good.
Daughter doesn't need to go to college. I need tartan in my car.
As long as I can... That's right, the car covers. I forgot. I want the authentic stuff. Don't get me wrong. I want at least like a shawl or a scarf or something that's like gives me like a shape of actual fabric tartan from Scotland, just that original Outlander tartan. I want it. But I'm so impressed that they're not only doing the authentic stuff, they're also looking to offer the Outlander tartans, the 5 different ones, to multiple price ranges, to people, to,
they have an economical version as well.
Yeah, I am happy it's in the make and in the works, and I know it won't be ready overnight, but I can't wait to get my hands on some of
some of the economical one as well, because that's going to go, like, not kidding, I'm, like, putting it on a wall.
Like, just a wall.
Oh, a wall. Somewhere in the office studio place that we record in. So, is there a piece you think you have to get your hands on first? Or just the catalog? Or is that dangerous?
Yeah, I shouldn't have a catalog. They should not. I should never be allowed to have a catalog. No, worse for me is internet. I don't ever want to go to their internet site.
Oh. But listener, dear listener, please do go to their internet site.
No, you absolutely should. I just know
Summer knows that she's weak. No, she knows that she's weak.
I just know how easy it is for me to pull out my credit card. And
it's called weakness, but it's human. We're all human.
But it's a good weakness to have.
Oh, again, tartan. It's Scotland, tartan, everything. So thank you, Lori, so much for giving us some of your very, very, very valuable time. We really do appreciate it. We had a blast speaking with you. So thank you, as always, so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode.
Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our audioboom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/outlanderpod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at @outlanderpod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpod, or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.